Right, we're here at Fort Myers Beach.
Good place, people walk around.
And got their attention for a little while. Praise the Lord, bless it. It's kind of a foggy evening out here. Let's see how it goes. You can see it's a little surprisingly busy.
And folks, we're here to tell you about the good news that's found in Jesus Christ. Yeah, well, I tell you, everybody else got to know about it too. And hey, they won't advertise it. The media is too prejudiced to advertise it. But Jesus came to the world to save sinners. You know, that doesn't matter if somebody doesn't rather realize that they're sinners. And that's the thing, that's the bad news. You can't receive the good news until you receive the bad news. And you got to just man up to it. You got to accept it, that we're all sinners. The bad news is not that we're all sinners, but also that sin will take you to hell. And that's why we're here. We don't want you to go there. We want you to be of good cheer, not only the rest of the little bits left this year, but we want you to be of good cheer throughout all your years. And the only way you can do that truly throughout all eternity is to believe on Jesus Christ. Jesus came to the world to save sinners, to give us life and give it more abundantly. Hey, I used to be a party animal and I thought that was cool. And I found out that's just a bunch of hype. It's got awful side effects, you know. You know, like waking up with a hangover, getting addicted to drugs and all that kind of stuff. Hey, you can have that. Been there, done that. Don't want no more of it. But I tell you, Jesus gives you a high that doesn't have the harmless or harmful side effects. But all you get is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Everything good. It's all good. Jesus said to a man who was a paralytic, man who was paralyzed, and he told him, he said, "Son, be of good cheer." The reason was not because he was going about to get healed, but he said the first thing that Jesus addressed was his sin, because the man knew that that was the root cause of all his problems. The root cause of his problems was his sin. And so that's what we have to realize. We need to be able to realize that, get a grip on that, because it's a reality. And I don't care. The wages of sin is death. You're going to die. I'm going to die. Don't matter how tough we think we may be, how smart we may think we are, how hip or cool that we might think that we are, we're going to die, period. Because God said you're going to die. Because that's the wages of sin. That's why we die. It's not some kind of evolutionary accident. But that's about as unscientific as I don't know what. And people, you know, it's in vogue today to believe that God, that there's no such thing, or you can be an agnostic or whatever and pretend you don't know. The real reason is you're just too lazy. You look at this building right here. I can prove the existence of God in less than a minute. You look at this building right here. That building is proof there's a builder. These vehicles are evidence that there are makers. And your intricate body is an evidence that there is a creator. So the question is, which one is the right one? Is it Allah? Is it Hare Krishna? Is it Buddha? Is it the Trinitarian God of the Holy Bible? Well, the difference, and I've studied religion for over 30 years. I'm a pastor up in North Carolina, just down here to celebrate my in-law's 70th anniversary. And he's a pastor, and God just blessed his soul and blessed the best in-laws you could ever have. I thought I'd celebrate by telling you all something maybe you don't know about. A lot of people say they're Christian, especially where I'm from, in the Bible Belt. But just because we say that we're a Christian and we go to church doesn't make us a Christian any more than me going to McDonald's makes me a hamburger. But the God of the other gods there of Islam and some of these other religions aside from true Christianity, that they believe in you got to do so many good works. And you got to hope that your good works outweigh your bad works. Well, how do I know? How do I know whether helping an old lady cross the street, how much does that weigh on the good side of the balance? Or how much does lying weigh on the bad side of the balance? Well, there's no religious book that'll tell you that stuff. Why? Because there's no such thing. There's no such thing. There's no way that we can do it by our own works. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross. He did it by His work. And what did He do? Well, the good news is the gospel, which is defined graciously by God in 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He fulfilled that word. And what's so great about somebody dying? Well, I'll tell you what's so great is that Jesus rose again. He conquered death, hell, and the grave because He paid the penalty for everyone that would believe on Him. That way, justice is satisfied and mercy can logically be extended. All the other religions that make you wonder whether you got enough good works to make it or not. Hey, I don't want to go and spend eternity and not knowing before I get there where I'm going to be. I can know for sure by trusting in what Jesus did. It's the only thing that makes logical sense. Same thing, there must be a creator. It only makes logical sense. To believe things happen by an evolutionary accident is about as unscientific as I don't know what. And yet people fall for it. Well, I got to make a good grade or whatever, and they just go along to get along. But what's the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, there in John 14:6. He said also that the truth shall make you free. Free from all that. You don't have to kowtow to these people who tell you these things about evolution when in reality, if you really look at all the inconsistency, unscientific nature of it, you realize it's just a farce. That's all it is. And Satan, who is the father of lies, is spreading this stuff and people are falling for it hook, line, and sinker and either don't give a hoot about their eternity. They're really not very smart. But we're here to tell you the good news is that Jesus came to save sinners like you and me. I don't want you to go to hell. I'm not here to try to condemn you. I'm trying to give you something that will give you good cheer, not only now in this little part of this year, but all throughout all years, all throughout eternity. And only God can do that. We can't do it. Only God can do that. And so, why don't you turn to Him? Why continue on or have a prejudiced mind against your Creator? That's the worst kind of prejudice there ever could be. Or a closed mind, you know, or put your head in the sand of the reality of your death and your departure from this world. That's just not going to work. I mean, you might get by for a little while, but eventually you're going to have to face up to it. You're going to have to man up to it. You got to get a grip on it. You got to come to terms with it. You don't want to go into eternity. How foolish that would be. That would be the worst thing that you could do. But again, ball's in your court. If you want, you know, it's going to come back and bite you and burn you in hell if you don't receive it, or it's going to come back and bless you if one day you do receive it. And I pray that God will do that for you because that's what you need. That's what I need. That's what everyone needs. Allah never did provide anything like that. Buddha never did provide anything like that. Only Jesus Christ was willing to lay down His life. Only Jesus Christ was willing to do that. He's the only one who's ever been able to do that. Allah never did that. Buddha never did that. And that's the beauty, is that Jesus loved enough. I'm telling you something about love. I tell you something that's all good. And yet people frown and like, well, your religion must not be too good. We're talking about something that's all good. Something that can save your soul. I've seen Jesus, when He didn't just talk about eternal life and giving it, He proved it by going to the cross and laying down His life. That's how He proved it. He put His actions where His mouth was. And not only that, I've seen Him change people's lives. Jesus delivers the goods when it comes to giving people eternal life and transforming their lives. I've seen people who were drunkards who are not drunkards anymore because God saved their soul. I've seen people who are drug addicts and are not drug addicts anymore because God saved their soul. They didn't go to AA. They didn't go to some silly rehab place. But simply God transformed their lives. And I can testify to the very same thing. I used to do drugs and I should do all that party scene, and if it was so good, I'd go back to it. But it's nothing to it. It's nothing but a bunch of hype with a lot of horrible side effects. So, really, who cares what anybody else thinks? Who cares? They're not going to judge you. God's going to judge you. That's what matters. Why be in slavery to the opinions of other people? Open your mind to think about these things. Because again, as I've said, it will come back to bite you and burn you, or it will come back and bless you if you think about it. The sad thing is, in our country, as long as we have food in our belly, clothes on our back, our little toys and gadgets and all that stuff, we're happy. That's the problem, though. Israel and Judah did the same thing. We see in the Roman Empire, we saw Germany, Nazi Germany, same kind of thing. Until it was up close and personal, people didn't do anything. And what happened? Well, by the time they decided to speak up, there wasn't nobody else to speak up for them. That's what happened in Nazi Germany. We have the same thing happening today in our country. We're having freedoms taken away. And if we just kind of lollygag around, it's going to be taken away. We're going to get exactly what we deserve. God will not bless America as long as we snub our nose at Him. He will not. And you'll be the loser because of it. I don't want you to be that way. I want you to have good cheer. I want you to have good cheer. Not only the rest of this part of this year, but all through into next year. And all throughout all the years that come on to eternity. And only God can produce that. Only God can deliver the goods when it comes to that. And He delivered the goods when He went to the cross. He delivered the goods when He's transformed and changed people's lives. Multitudes. I'm not talking about a witness in some remote corner of the world. I'm talking about multitudes of witnesses whose lives testify to the fact that Jesus does change lives for the better, for the good. Now, I'm not talking about hypocrites. No, we can't hide behind hypocrites. I'm not going to be judged by hypocrites. I'm going to be judged by God. And hypocrites, they're not real believers anyway. So we can't find an excuse there. We have no excuse, actually. You know, a good question we might want to ask ourselves is if we were to die today, which is a reality, that's a legitimate question, and Jesus would ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? No, you can't say that. You just say, really? You say, I don't deserve it because I'm a sinner. I have violated your law and the prison house is hell. So I don't deserve it. I just fall on your mercy, Lord, and what you did at the cross for me. And my life has been transformed because of it, as the evidence of it. That's only, we just fall upon His mercy. To assume that we're somehow going, we're good enough, that is a big assumption. When we, you know, if we've ever lied before, we've all lied before. If we lie, then we're a liar. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Do not lie. You ever looked on somebody with lust? Well, Jesus said that you have committed adultery in your heart. That's another commandment that you break. And then the other one, you know, have you ever used God's name in vain? Well, then you're a blasphemer. So, you know, there's three commandments right there. Hey, how's it going, buddy? Those three commandments, we're all guilty. Now, what you gonna do, bud? You wanna talk about it? You gonna have a closed mind? Come on now. We're talking about something you're gonna have to deal with sooner or later. It's all eternity. It makes good sense, good common sense. Come on, folks. Have an open mind. Have a prejudiced mind against your Creator. That's not gonna set very good. You gotta stand before this Creator just like I do. And if you have a prejudiced mind against Him, a closed mind against Him, it's not going to set well. I guarantee you, it's not going to set well. He's given you, in this country, we have had so many blessings. We got so many. We got clothes in abundance. We got food in abundance. We got freedom in this country. We got so much. But are we thanking God for it by the way that we live, the way we respond to His Word? Is that what we're doing? Are we being ungrateful for it? That's the thing. Come on. Come on, talk to me now, folks. Come on. Come on and talk to me. Come on, let's have a good civil conversation. How about it, huh? No discussion. Oh, you don't want to? Well, it's nothing to be afraid of. This is a free gift. Nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be embarrassed about, because Paul, the Apostle Paul, in John, or in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." How you doing, sir? Come on now. Come on now. Talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. Hey, huh? What? Why?
You're calling everyone a hoochie?
No. I'm telling people about Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm preaching the gospel like they used to in the Bible. Right, they used to do that. Paul did it. Jeremiah did it. Jesus did it. John the Baptist did it. I mean, it's on and on. We used to in this country. That's what they used to do. They used to do it. Now, a pastor too, up in North Carolina, just down here celebrating my in-law's 70th anniversary. But, you know, they used to in this country do that. And people would come in multitudes and listen. I think it's a sign of the time. My country's going down. And, of course, they rewrite history, and it happens little by little. So folks your age might not even know any better. You know, you got nice stuff, and you're enjoying life. Nothing wrong with that either. I love that, too. I love doing all that kind of stuff. But the thing is, we're all going to die sooner or later. I just went to a funeral a couple of days ago from a guy I knew, 53 years old, and pretty young. He dying already. Would have known beginning of this year he was going to be gone, but he is, and that could be me, it could be you. So we're all going to die, right? I'm just doing this. I hope it's okay. I got you on Facebook Live, and I'm also protecting myself because people do attack you out here. I've had, well, not in this particular location, but over in down in Inverness, up there near Ocala, and over there in Winston-Salem, where I'm from, and that kind of stuff. Happy, sad to say. But this is love speech. This is not hate speech. You know, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But we're all going to die, right? Does it matter how tough or strong you are?
No.
Or how smart or hip or cool? No, you're still going to die. Because we're told that you know, the wages of sin is death, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's just it. That's the bottom line. It's not an evolutionary accident or mystery. We're just going to die. And so, what do we do? You know, it's not just physically, but in Revelation chapter 20, it says that there is a second death. A second death, which is going into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. So, it's probably a good idea to want to avoid that at any cost, right? I mean, who wants to go there? But so, that's why Jesus came. That's the good news. That's the good news. Bad news, we're sinners. The bad news is that we are headed for hell. The good news is Jesus paid the penalty. Jesus paid the penalty. How's it going, sir?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. We're just telling some good news.
Okay.
Bad news, we're sinners. Bad news, we're going to hell. The good news is Jesus paid the penalty for sinners. You know, he suffered hell. He hung on a cross and said, "I thirst." He was suffering hell for eternity for everybody to believe on him. And then he said, my God, why has thou forsaken me?" Because the Father is the separation of God.
See? Yeah.
There you go. What'd you do? Rent this?
Yeah.
Rent these? Okay. Anyway, if you want to have your seat go all the way up to heaven, okay, you need to trust in Jesus, what he did. You know, the world religions like Islam and all these other world religions, they say you have to work your way to heaven. Hope your good works outweigh your bad works. Well, Christianity, true Christianity, says that it's only by what Jesus did, his work. See, he paid the penalty, so then justice is satisfied, and mercy can then justifiably, logically be extended, you know, because the price has been paid. But you got to believe. You got to believe. And when you believe it, it changes your life. You know, you're not the same. You know, I don't know if you ever had anybody come in your life and you hadn't been the same ever before. You ever had something like that happen to you? Well, you were never the same when somebody came in your life that really blessed you. Well, that's what Jesus, you know, it changes your life around to where you don't want to sin. I used to love my sin. Boy, I just love sin. I love to get drunk and get high and party and all that stuff. Not anymore. It's just bad side effects, and it hurts you. But Jesus is the only good side effect, and it helps you. You know.
All right.
It's either going to bite you, it'll come back to you. To bite you or burn you or bless you. And I hope it blesses you.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, you too. Thank you guys for listening. All right, God bless you now. All right. All right, we had some young guys had an open mind. They were willing to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They weren't afraid of it. They weren't ashamed of it. They weren't embarrassed about hearing it. And I don't see why they would, because we're talking about Jesus Christ, God, who spoke this world into existence. What's so bad about that? What's the big deal about that? You know, and people get all bent out of shape. There's no reason to. We're talking about, hey, are you waving the banner? Are you a believer? Come on now. Oh, no, Jesus is the only way now. Check it out. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. If you believe in everything, that means your belief is contradictory. And that's not logical. And so it's got to be logical. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the truth will set you free. And I want you to be free. I want you to have a happy, cheerful new year and the rest of this year and throughout all eternity. That's what I want for you. But you got to be willing, first of all, to listen. You know, Americans are so prideful. Oh boy, I know everything. Don't tell me what to do and all that kind of stuff. Well, we got people telling us what to do all the time, don't we? Our bosses tell us what to do. The government tells us what to do. These signs tell you what to do. I mean, so God telling us what to do shouldn't be a big deal. Matter of fact, well, I'd be glad that He gives us things so that we know what to do. So we know which is the way to life eternal. To be warned of the way of light of death eternal in hell. So even the warnings are a blessing, just like a sign to say you got a cliff coming up. You know, it's a negative sign, but it's a good negative because it keeps you from going over the cliff when you pay attention to the sign. And so when Jesus says to flee the wrath to come, then that's a good thing. There's no big deal about that. That's a gracious thing. People think of hell as being something that, you should never preach on that. Well, if you study the Bible, you find out that Jesus taught more about hell than He did about heaven. Now, what's up with that? It's because we have such a propensity to draw away from anything that's negative, but would speak against us and doing what we want to do. And yet, sometimes we got to do those things we don't want to do for our own good, for our family's good. And that's what Jesus has given to us in His Word. He's given us and told us to repent, turn from your sins, and believe on Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel, the good news. Jesus came into the world, God the Son. Now, Allah did not do that. He wouldn't come down here. And we find that Hare Krishna and Buddha didn't even qualify to be a Messiah. But Jesus came being God, which is amazing. And He knew what He was getting into. He was going to be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knew that He was going to be crucified. He was going to be ridiculed and rejected. And yet He went anyway because He had such a great love. And that love was demonstrated at the cross. It wasn't just talk. He proved it by dying on the cross. And He proves it today upon multitudes down through history up to this day whose lives have been totally changed for the better. Those who used to be addicted to drugs and alcohol and all kinds of things are now delivered. Their life is changed. I've seen it with my own two eyes. And I want you to be a recipient of that gift of eternal life. The gift that keeps on giving, the gift that doesn't wear out, the gift that never becomes obsolete, the gift that never breaks, the gift that is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. That means not only to receive eternal life initially, but progressively, continuing to do so continually in the sense that your life is changed and you become more and more of a stronger believer, more and more holy like Jesus. If you're a true Christian, there's a lot of people who say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian because I said the sinner's prayer or I went to church or whatever. But what does the Bible say? You know, that's the thing. People don't take time to read their Bibles. Too hooked up on their phones, too hooked up on the internet, too hooked up on television and all these entertainments. We got way too much time on our hands, it seems, because we're not using it wisely. When we know we're going to die, Why not think about this? What's so hard about that? I mean, isn't it logical? Isn't it reasonable? Hopefully we're not talking to people who are unreasonable and illogical and irrational who do not even want to think about the fact that they got to die. I mean, really, you can put your head in the sand and ignore and do whatever you want to. You're going to die anyway, just like me. So where are you going to go? That's important if for all eternity. Oh, yeah, you go down to the ground and that's it. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that? You're having faith in some person that told you that. But do you have faith in God? That's the key. We got a creator. We got to have a creator. We didn't come in here by accident. Who created the first thing that started the Big Bang? What started the Big Bang? Well, they don't ever want to say. And there ain't no such thing anyway. But nonetheless, science is limited. Science has faith in the scientific method. And the scientific method, I can't grab a hold of the scientific method. I can't grab it and say, boy, that's a pretty looking scientific method. I can't do that. By faith, I believe it. There's some evidences that show me that it makes sense, but I cannot see it. That's the first step of the scientific method. It's to observe. And so there's an element of faith, always. So you're going to have faith in God? Are you going to have faith in yourself? Are you going to have faith in somebody else? Well, the only thing that makes sense is to have faith in your Creator. You have faith in your Creator, then you'll never regret it. I've been a believer since I was 22 years old. Now it's about 40 years later. Not quite 40, 39 years later. And I do not regret it. Matter of fact, as a pastor, I study the various religions, and the more that I study the different religions, the more I'm convinced that true Christianity is the way. But you got to study it out. You can't be lazy. You can't play games, head games, and put your head in the sand. Like, you know, that's pretty wimped out. And it's not very smart on top of that. So, really, I don't want you to go and make that eternal mistake. That would be the most foolish thing you could ever do. And yet, we have so many foolish people today. It's no wonder our country's in the mess that we're in. We've got too many people like that. But you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to be that way. And maybe you're not. Maybe you are a believer. Well, if you're a believer, the evidence of a believer in Jesus Christ, in Acts chapter 2, they gladly...
My wife's getting worried about me here. So we're going to go ahead and cut it short right now. It's a great place to go. I just going in the store where I parked, so I feel obligated to buy something. And so pray the Lord will use His Word. Thankful for those young men who are willing to listen. God bless you.